Good morning, Lee.
Hey there, Chara.
Okay, so just want to let you know there's about something going on. Tony Dale, who you've heard many times on this show, and I fill in sometimes on his podcast. Mm-hmm. He's with Common Sense Retirement Planning. He wrote a book. It's a really good book. Just Sing the Song, Story of Redemption and Love Based on Actual Events. It's called Just Sing the Song. You can get it on Amazon. Well, this weekend, he's doing a book signing at Angel's Bookstore. It's on North Pleasantburg across from Home Depot in Greenville, and it's going to be from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And he, they have hit a $100 bill in one of the books, so somebody will get lucky, and they're giving away free Common Sense Retirement Planning swag. So if you're one of their many podcast listeners, you've always wanted to meet them, you want to get your book signed, or maybe $100, you could check them out again. It's North Pleasantburg, Angel's Bookstore, 2327 North Pleasantburg, across from the Home Depot in Greenville, 10 to 1 Saturday, so tomorrow.
Tony is a man of many talents. I'm just
He's a
fascinating
Tony.
Individual. Yeah, he's. Yeah. I've been around him for a few years, and you know, it's, and of course he's done a lot of work here, and just very, very interesting and very talented and brilliant guy.
He's been a weatherman around here for a long time before he retired.
He was an actor on a soap opera. He was a boxing athlete, and you know, he's a car enthusiast like I am. So we've got that in common, and it just and of course, you know, obviously with Common Sense Retirement Planning and his work there, you know, very, very interesting, good conservative guy.
Absolutely. Do you know he was on the A-Team? He actually was on
really?
That show. Yes.
No, that part I did not know.
I didn't know that either until recently.
Boy,
it's
wild.
He was a good-looking guy when he showed me. He's still a good-looking guy, but he's, I mean, 76. He's held up amazingly. He looks about 56. But, yeah, but a good-looking guy on the A-Team. Really cool.
I love it when a plan comes together.
It all comes together. Okay, so on our campuses, it is coming together. You know what Senator Tom Cotton said? He said, what you're watching, if you Google the word pogrom, P-O-G-R, A-M or O-M, depending on how they're spelling it, it's been going on for hundreds of years in Europe. And this is violence against Jews, mob violence against Jews. And Tom Cotton said, we are watching modern day pogroms. One of the most famous of those was Kristallnacht in the lead up to World War II. And he said, we are watching this on campus. And it truly is shocking. These videos are now coming out, okay? This one just went viral. This is an interview of one of the protesters at NYU. And she's being asked, hey, like, what are you protesting? You're on the Palestinian side. Do you know what it is you want and what's going on? And she mentions, hey, yeah, I was protesting in Columbia, and now I'm over here at NYU, and I'm protesting. And she's asked, why are we here? And she turns to her friend and asks her, because she's not sure. Take a listen.
And what would you say is the main goal with tonight's protest?
I think the goal is just showing our support for Palestine and demanding that NYU stops. I honestly don't know all of what NYU's doing.
Is there something that NYU's doing?
I really don't know. I'm pretty sure they're... Do you know what NYU's doing?
About what?
About Israel. Why are we protesting here?
Palestine will be free!
I wish I was more educated.
I'm not either.
Oh.
I came from Columbia. I was there up at Columbia, and we came down. They said NYU students needed our support. So I came down. I heard there's lots of cops. Some people were saying it was getting dangerous.
I don't know why we're protesting. Why are we protesting?
Yeah.
What do you want? I don't know. It just seemed like everybody was doing this.
The term useful idiot comes to mind.
We're truly seeing the useful idiots. And they're really mad, but they really don't know. I bet you so many liberal voters are just really what Rush Limbaugh used to say, low information. They don't literally know what they're talking about or what they're voting for. They don't understand the level of damage they're doing to this country right now.
Oh, to the world.
Or to the world.
I mean, this is a worldwide issue. And this whole thing is I hate to use the term PR stunt, but quite honestly, that's what this is. This is about getting video of this going on so that they can then say what Israel, they claim, is doing to the Palestinians in Gaza. But what they really want, you know what they really want, Tara.
What do they really want?
They really want to see law enforcement beating up protesters.
Oh, yes.
That's what
absolutely.
They want. That's the image that they're waiting for. That's the image they're waiting for.
Well, that was a clip from NYU. Okay, let's go over now to George Washington University, where these violent protests are also going on. This is a student there, Josh Shapiro. Listen to what he says about the people protesting. He was on Laura Ingraham last night. He spent a lot of time walking around the protest, talking to people. Listen to this.
Do you get a sense that most of the people at the protests really understand fully what they're protesting, what they want?
No, I don't think everyone fully understands. I think most people are truly well-meaning people, and that they think they see an injustice in the world, and they think that they should fight that injustice. They're probably seeing a lot of propaganda, especially my generation. Most people get their news from social media, which isn't exactly reliable. So I feel like it's important that people remember that not everything that they're chanting for, they have a full comprehension of. For example, there was a chant about, it was endorsing Intifada, which was like a violent resistance primarily against Israeli civilians, which is, a whole point of the rallies is that we're trying to minimize violence against civilians. So I don't think a lot of people understand what Intifada is.
They're chanting for Intifada, the murder of Israeli Jews, but they don't really know what it is.
Right.
Oh, typical liberal. This is liberalism 101.
Once again, useful idiots.
Useful idiots. But there are some really evil people at these protests, too, who do know what they're doing. This is Gideon Askowitz. He is the president of Jewish Students for America. He went to the City College version of this. Listen to how he was treated. Lee, this is right out of the lead up to Nazi Germany. I mean, it could have happened there. Listen to this.
Yeah, so what we're seeing in that video is me approaching the encampment there just with my phone out, me by myself as a very Orthodox Jewish presenting individual. And they immediately approached me, found out who I was, and they carried that information to what is essentially a command node in the center of that encampment of about 200, 250 students. And they instantly started blaring music. They surrounded me. They had very threatening messaging directly toward me. They said that they were going to beat me up. They then shoved me very violently and hid the person who shoved me. My yarmulke, my Jewish cap, fell off onto the floor, and they dared me to pick it up in a very threatening manner.
Why did
you
go to the pro-Palestinian encampment?
So I have a cousin, actually, who goes to that school, and I wanted to check it out for myself and see what it would be like for her. She also presents very openly Orthodox, and I was frightened what that would mean for her when school resumes.
Are you having any reasonable conversations with pro-Palestinian students?
So out of the 200 people there, there were two people there that were somewhat normal. One of them actually was kind enough to help pick up my kippah, and he escorted me out. He said, listen, it's just not safe here. But if that's the reality, if they're saying it's not safe here for you and the schools aren't doing anything about it, that's an issue.
This is a civil rights violation. Remember when we had to bring in the National Guard to forcibly integrate black children into schools?
Yes.
And that forcible integration is very much celebrated now in American culture. It was the right thing to do, right? This is the opposite of that, okay? Black students had civil rights. That was the enforcement of equal civil rights. This is the opposite of that. This is as if the crowds that day when we integrated those schools at gunpoint, it's the National Guard. This is as if we said, well, we're not going to call in the National Guard. We'll let the crowd decide if they can make it into school or not. Good luck.
No.
That's what the left is doing right now with this violence, with this intimidation. And it goes, again, all the way up to the head of Columbia University, who has really set the tone for this, where she said, hey, a lot of these people on our campus aren't even students. They're not professors, but we're going to let them stay here. We're going to let them menace Jews. Oh, hey, but you might want to go to class online just to be safe. Oh, and if you're a Jewish professor and you want to come on campus and you want to hold a pro-Jewish peaceful protest, we're just going to make sure your card to get in the campus doesn't work. That's dangerous. We can't have you here. Because you're Jewish? Yeah. Because you want to hold a counter-protest? Yeah, but we're going to let pro-Hamas lunatics who aren't even students onto campus. Maybe you should teach your class from online in your apartment. Maybe that would be safer for you. Lee, these are civil rights violations. You can't do this.
I think there's a I want to tie this to something else. I think that this is all part, and you can probably back me up on this, of a broader effort of a Marxist revolution in this country.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're looking at, Marxism attacking the institutions of this country, whether we are talking about America's support for the Jewish state and Jews in general, whether we're talking about a capitalistic economy, whether we're talking about American hegemony around the world, we are looking at, this is just another one of the battlefronts of the Marxist revolution that is going on in this country right now.
And you know what it is? We're watching the weaponization of the liberal mob. And
yes,
being normalized is if they're mad, they can do violence. If they're mad, they can be anti-Semitic. If they're mad, they can do whatever the heck they want. Because why can't they? They did $2 billion worth of damage after the Summer of Love, the single most financially destructive event in U.S. history except the Civil War.
And if American imperialists are attacked, they cannot respond.
No, cannot respond. You cannot respond. You can't do it. Texter writes this. Hey, Tara, happy Friday. Of course these fools have no idea why they're protesting. These are the same clowns that would lose it when Riley Gaines showed up to try to make people stop and think a little bit about trans athletes in sports. It would be funny if it wasn't so sad. That is a perfect example of the other flip side of the Marxist revolution. Because remember, she was kidnapped. She was locked in a closet for her life, running from the mob with the campus police who were also afraid for their lives. And they were trying to remember these pro-trans students were trying to negotiate with the campus police. Hey, send her out. We'll pay you. Or you can pay us and we'll let you out. Yeah. I mean, so, and by the way, no charges were ever filed, even though the LAPD had to come in and break that up.
Yeah.
No charge. They're like, no, we don't have any evidence of the crime. It's on video.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we don't care. This is what you're going to get from the left. They are showing you our colectivos will hunt you down in the street. Better stay home and shut up. Oh, better go to class online if you're Jewish. But it's not just Jewish people. It's Riley Gaines. It's any conservative who wants to speak on campus. They're teaching us this again and again. It's just normal. If they're mad, you can't do anything about it. You have to let them take over campus. You have to let them do whatever they want. You better be careful. You could get hurt. Get beaten by the mom.
Hey, Southern Cal just canceled their commencement.
Yes, in deference to these people.
Yeah, capitulation.
Well, they might get mad. They might get violent. So you're going to have to not have a graduation.
And of course, they had a valedictorian who was wanting to promote the abolition of the state of Israel.
Yeah.
We got canceled, too.
You know, I am convinced most people don't actually know the history of Gaza. I'm absolutely convinced of that. That Israel, again, gave Gaza wholesale to the Gazans. Didn't have to, did anyway, probably not very advisable, and gave them every business, every inch of Gaza, including vineyards had been in families for generations. They even took their dead out of the graveyards and handed it. And what did they do? They could have had a wonderful economy. Instead, they voted in a terror group, Hamas as their government, turned on Israel, committed genocide.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to believe they're the victims? This thing has gotten so twisted. That's the power of TikTok. A lot of this is coming from TikTok. Let me explain what you're watching right now, because you don't know. You haven't grown up in a country that is a left-wing bastion. So you don't know what you're looking at. You have to refer to other countries to understand what you're looking at on these campuses, okay? This is a new iteration of the Black Lives Matter protest. The final insurance agency bill for that was $2 billion. Again, the single most financially destructive event in terms of property damage to the country since the Civil War. So think about that. Second most damaging event. This is not insignificant, okay? What are these people? Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro would have known what they were. They're colectivos. Let me go back through. I did a Battleground America podcast on this 2 weeks ago. It was great. And by the way, I'd encourage you to pick up the Battleground America podcast. Very easy to do. It comes out, if you only listen to one, listen to Fridays. It's my most popular. I wrap up the week like nobody else does with the Insane Things podcast. So today's just going to be epic because it's been a crazy week. You can always get, it's always pinned to the top of my social media, or you can get it by texting keyword Battleground to the text line 71307, or just my name, Tara, T-A-R-A, to the text line. You get the Battleground America podcast. Very easy to get. Lately, they've been epic. Let me tell you what happened, okay? Because I want you to understand what you're looking at. Headline. This is 2017. Well, you know what? Let me go back to 2012. The good liberals, the good leftists running Venezuela, which was then such a great country, they hadn't thoroughly destroyed it yet by doing what? Putting its energy off limits to the Venezuelan people and the profits as well. It's one of the big things they did in order to starve them and really hurt the economy. It's 2012, and they're arguing to protect Venezuelan from Venezuelans from crimes, they need to take their guns. Now, they won. They took the guns. But that's only the first step. See, Americans think that's the last step. No, that's the first step. 2012, remember that. 5 years later, okay, 2017, here's the Fox News headline. Venezuela's Maduro to provide guns to 400,000 loyalists amid peaking tension. Oh, only the loyalists get the guns. So see, there's a phase two. What have I been telling you? Democrats love guns and they love police. Oh, they love more than we do. Don't let them fool you. They just want them to answer to them. So they collect the guns and then they put them back in the hands of loyalists. Can you imagine a country where you and I can't own a gun, but the people on the NYU campus can have them? The people at Columbia can have them? Can you imagine? Because that's the plan. That's why that judge just ruled a couple weeks ago. She had ruled 2 years ago that illegal immigrants couldn't own guns. The Second Amendment didn't apply to them. They're not American citizens. And she recalled the case and flipped her verdict. Why? This. Venezuela's Maduro to provide guns to 400,000 loyalists amid peaking tension. Okay. There's two levels of loyalists there. Okay. There's the militias. They roam around Venezuela with official-looking uniforms. But then there's the colectivos. The colectivos are criminals. They have been let out on purpose. They are allowed to roam because they answer to the leftists. But they don't wear uniforms. They don't work for anybody. But they have guns. They've been redistributed guns. What do the colectivos just do? I mean, as an example of how they operate. Well, there was a woman running against the current president and dictator of Venezuela. She was running in a primary, right? She wanted the right to challenge him. She, like the Democrats just did, used the courts to rule her illegitimate, said she couldn't run. She ran anyway, just to prove she could win. She's a lot more popular than he is. And so she runs in the primary. She wins the primary. Everybody loves her. The people who went to vote were beaten senseless. Some of them never made it to the polling places because why? The colectivos came after them with bats and guns. They got run over. They were beaten and maybe killed. I don't know. It's hard to get real information out of that country. The colectivos, who are they? Criminals. So you have deniability. Oh, did that guy beat you at the polling place? Oh, man. Yeah, he's a thug. He's got a very long criminal history. Sorry about that. Yeah, no, he's not affiliated with us. But he had a gun. Yeah, he did, didn't he? Wonder how he got that. Who knows? He's a criminal. See, that's phase two. That's phase two. And if you look at what is going on in Venezuela right now is so fascinating. You know why? Because it is they are following the Democrat playbook here, and the Democrats here are following the playbook there. It is identical. Do you realize all eight people who led the Trump 2016 campaign have been convicted? Do you realize that? 100%, all of them. Peter Ferraro, Steve Bannon, Trump's key fundraiser, Trump's campaign manager. Do you realize all eight people who led the opposition campaign in Venezuela have now been arrested? Weird, right? Does that give you chills? It should. The only person they haven't gotten here yet is Trump. The only person they haven't gotten there yet is the candidate who did so well in the primaries. They'll get her though. They'll get her. They already got her campaign staff. It's identical. There's no difference. That's what comes next. And what they're normalizing with it. Look, this is just an iteration of them, okay? This is the pro-Gaza, pro-Palestinian iteration. There'll be another one along next election, next year, whatever. They'll do $1 billion worth of damage. They'll do whatever they do. The idea is if they are left, if they are a Democrat privileged group, they can do whatever the heck they want. And we know from Lily Tan Williams what this is. You know that if you listen to the Battleground America podcast too. She grew up, she was 5 years old during the Maoist revolution in China. And she explained, there are 10 classes of people in China. Their class was assigned to them during the revolution. Five of the groups were oppressors and five of the groups were oppressed. Oppressed could literally commit crimes against oppressor classes with no repercussions. It was normalized. It was expected. You had to hope they didn't hurt or kill you because they could. They're violent leftists, but they're oppressed. So they laws don't apply. Norms don't apply. That's what you're watching. And then they arm them, but not you. They're normalizing this. This is a process the left wants to break society down, normalize the idea. Well, if they're mad, you have to let them take over campus and intimidate Jews, even if the Jews are students and the people doing the intimidation aren't. Why? They're leftists, so they have absolute privilege. Cannot stand in their way, cannot apply laws, nothing. Normalizing this. No, we can't ask them to leave. Why not? Why don't you send in the National Guard like we did when we did segregated schools? Why not do that? Because that's exactly what's happening here. They are resegregating schools so Jews can't attend. Who's next? We're next. I mean, we've gone first, really. I mean, they won't let our speaker speak on campus without violence. See what's going on? Folks, Democrats are planning. I need to do a whole podcast on this. Democrats are planning an energy disaster. And you can see the outlines of what's coming this week. When the Biden administration is saying, hey, we're going to declare a climate emergency, what does that do? Listeners to my Battleground America podcast, you could always get that by texting keyword Tara to the text line 71307. Listeners to my Battleground America podcast know it would trigger the Lever Act. What does the Lever Act say? Lever Act's been on the books since 1917. New York Times did an article on it 2 years ago calling for this. If the Lever Act is triggered by a national emergency, i.e. a climate change declaration, climate change emergency declaration, it would give Democrats the ability to seize means of production and delivery of food, food supply chains, and energy supply chains. Ah, how do you create such a disaster? With this, what Joe Biden did this week, I've been warning this was coming, now it's here. This is what this says. This is from the Associated Press. Coal-fired power plants, they provide 15% of our electricity, would be forced to capture almost all emissions, which right now is scientifically impossible, or shut down. Or shut down entirely by 2035. Wait a minute. Weren't we going to be forced? Two-thirds of our automobiles must be EVs by 2032, right? Joe Biden signed that executive order like a dictator. But you're going to get rid of 15% of our electricity? Uh-huh. Well, when we plug them in, what will happen? Nothing. That's the point. Total catastrophe. And then they come and go, oh, climate emergency. We're going to have to take over all of the means of production. So all the plants, natural gas, all of them, we're going to take them over. We're going to control energy. And that beautiful new EV you just bought, yes, you'll get to admire it in your driveway since it's not going anywhere. So at the same time, they're mandating you plug everything into the electric socket. They are taking all of the electricity out of the grid. Because guess what? This also applies to natural gas plants. If they can't get to, it's very close to 100% reduction, they have to shut down. Wait. Hold on. If they all shut down, for instance, if they can't make it, that's 60% of our energy. Uh-huh. And Joe did this with a flick of a pen? Yeah. Yeah, he did. The rules were among four measures targeting coal and natural gas plants that the EPA said would provide regulatory certainty to the power industry. Yes, certainty that when you plug it in, nothing's going to happen. This is absolute unmitigated destruction. Now, they're saying, look, the plan's likely to be challenged in court by industry groups and Republican-leading states. Folks, this is the death of our economy right here. Is the absolute death of our, I mean, there's no other way to put it. And folks, I just read you the New York Times article a couple weeks ago. What did they say? Right now, we don't have enough electricity in the grid for everybody to buy an EV or two-thirds of the new fleet to be EVs. We don't have it. They admitted it. And they want to take at least 15% out, maybe up to 60%. Here's what they say would happen. Coal plants that plan to stay open beyond 2039 would have to cut or capture 90% of their carbon dioxide emissions by 2032. Okay? The AP admits we don't scientifically have a way to do this. They don't care. This is either going to make, if they can invent it by 2032, this is even going to make, either going to make energy so outrageously expensive, all of our manufacturing will shut down, or what's left of it, and a lot of our industry too, or these plants are just going to shut down and all of our industry and manufacturing will shut down too. Either way, they win is the bottom line here. Now, listen to this. Rich Nolan, president and CEO of National Mining Association, said that through the latest rules, the EPA is systematically dismantling the reliability of the U.S. electric grid. That is the goal. He accused Biden and other officials of ignoring our energy reality and forcing the closure of well-operating coal plants that repeatedly come to the rescue during times of peak demand. Yes, they do. That's why they want them shut down. They want us to live in the dark. They are regressives. He says the repercussions of this reckless plan will be felt across the country by all Americans. So literally the same year that two-thirds of the new fleet must be EVs. What happens the same year? 15% of the energy gone. You think that's an accident? This is an absolute plan for destruction. Now, this is very much modeled on the European plans that have gone before us, and they keep putting it off and backing off every year because of the absolute Armageddon. But the problem is, this has doubled and tripled and quadrupled energy prices, which is what is coming. And they've done it all by pen. They've done it all by pen. He accused Biden, Reagan, and other officials of ignoring our energy reality and forcing the closure of well-operating coal plants. Yes, they did. Listen to this. Even the Associated Press even admits the proposal relies on technologies to limit carbon pollution that the industry itself had said has said are not viable or available. So here's what they have done this in a lab. Okay, they have never applied one of these to a power plant. Coal provided 16% of U.S. electricity last year. Natural gas provides 43%. So these same regs would also be applied to those plants. But the coal goes first. So look, are they actually going to do this? I don't know. But the bigger, if they do it, the bigger disaster that they create, the more power they get using the Lever Act. They create a national energy emergency. And then the Lever Act, which is already in the books and has been since 1917, allows them to seize means of production of delivery of food and energy. So ultimately, they control these plants. It's total power. It's basically what Stalin did. Essentially, you control the food, you control the energy, you control everything. Now, am I saying they're going to do it? What this shows us is they want to. He signed the executive order this week. Hopefully we will be able to stop them in the courts, although Kevin McCarthy made that a lot harder when he capitulated to Joe Biden and stripped out provisions that would have made it easier to sue and put in new provisions that'll make it harder. Thanks, Kev. So glad you're out of Congress. He totally betrayed us when he went to snuck to the White House and did that. It was one of the reasons that Republicans kicked him out of the speakership, and good for him, but it's going to make it that much harder for us because he put that in those bills. Why? I don't know. We didn't even need to, we were winning. We didn't even need to capitulate. I'm sure Kev will get paid though. But anyway, this is a problem. Jim Matheson, CEO of the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association, called the EPA rule unlawful, unrealistic, and unachievable. He says the barrage of new EPA rules ignores our nation's ongoing electric reliability challenges and is the wrong approach. By the way, let's put it all together now. Semi-trucks, right? Same rules were just applied by Biden to semi-trucks. They have to be EVs. Two-thirds of the fleet has to be EVs by 2032. What comes to you by semi-truck? Anybody know? Food. Mm-hmm. Food. They're not messing around. So you plug your semi-truck in and nothing comes out. You gonna have food on your table? No. That's not a bug. That's a feature. It's the plan. Or we could just win this election and none of it has to happen. Trump walks in first day in office and cancels it all. Your choice. Well, you know what they say? If you don't want to be up all night, don't be, you know, using your phone right before you go to bed because it's bright. Yeah, well, you can do the opposite of that if you want to increase brain power and alertness. If you've got a project you're working on, you need maximum level brain power, you're feeling sleepy, you're getting kind of fried, what should you do? New study? Bright light boosts brain power. In fact, it boosts it significantly. That's according to a study published in the journal eLife. So there are real biological effects of light on human behavior and brain health. Previous research has shown that light exposure increases alertness. This is one of the first studies to pinpoint how it influences the human brain at the neural level. So they're finding light exposure affects the brain in animal models to human models. It's a different process. But literally the different levels of light affect, think about the wheels turning in your brain. Everything from auditory tasks, working memory, emotional processing, all of it works better. Basically, the energy flows through your brain better as it's exposed to light. And study authors discovered that the light levels, as they increased, activity in the posterior portion of the hypothalamus ramped up. That regulates just about everything. So it was directly related to brightness level. You know what I wonder here? We spend so much time inside. It's fake light. And we're not meant to be inside. We're meant to be outside, right? We had to hunt things. Later, we had to grow things or we weren't going to make it. And that makes sense. Your brain was keyed, hey, it's time to slow down. It's almost nighttime. Let's cook something. It's getting darker. You would have slowed down. You need maximum level of alertness when you were doing what? Hunting. So you didn't get eaten by the saber tooth. Then you can use that, they say. So if you have, I don't know, like you have a sun porch or a deck or something like that, you got a difficult project, go sit outside for 15 minutes when you're in the middle of it. You can do it at work too. Your brain needs the light. I just think it's fascinating. They can watch the electrical impulses, you know, the electrical pulses go through and watch them get fine-tuned by the light. I bet you vitamin D plays a part in this too. We're not meant to sit in a room all day inside at a desk. That is just not the natural human condition. All right, so try that next time. Texter writes, Tara, I learned 30 years ago when I first wake up, I turn on all the bright lights and I'm awake immediately. Works every time. Maybe I should try that. I wander around in the dark. Of course, I'd wake everyone in the house up. Texter writes, maybe that's why we're getting a better level of thinking and governance in the sunshine state. Yeah, maybe. And finally, Texter writes, what is the ultimate goal for destroying America? Who benefits? Well, you know, you've heard that old saying, they'd rather rule over the ashes. So, yeah, I think it's the Democrats. I think it's the globalists. I think it's people like that who think they're going to rule. I'm not so sure about that.